Amen. Praise God, we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. Verse number 6. Genesis chapter 42, verse number 6. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Let's bow for prayer. Oh God, our hearts are encouraged as we've been reminded that we have hope, and we have hope in the person of Jesus Christ. I ask and pray, oh God in heaven, if there are some present here this morning that do not fully understand what that hope is and what it means to have hope in Jesus Christ, we pray that this will be the day of their salvation. And Lord God, for those of us that are Christians this morning, I pray that you'd build our hope in our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible reads, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." God is purposeful in everything. And we see this in His creation. For example, consider the unique design of a camel. An unattractive looking animal in our eyes, but purposefully designed by God. Most young girls don't collect camels, they collect horses, don't they? Horse looks attractive, is purposeful. A camel doesn't look as attractive, but is purposeful. God is purposeful in what He allows into our lives. In Job 23:10, Job said, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." David said in Psalm 66, verse 10, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Tried and purified. That's the title of my sermon this morning. Tried and purified. Turn with me, please, for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. The Bible reads, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Note the little phrase there, tried with fire. If we go back to Genesis chapter 42 this morning, It has been some 20 years since Joseph has seen his brothers. Joseph has been tried and he has come forth as gold. In the past 20 years, God has done a work of grace in the life of Joseph to get him to this very point. God loved Joseph. And yet we must be mindful, as our focus this morning is on Joseph's brothers, God still loves the brothers of Joseph. Now we find that God is putting the brothers into the fire, so to speak, and trying them as never before. Joseph has had 20 years of it. Well, just over 20 years. Now it's the brothers' turn. Because just like God had a purpose and a love for Joseph, God has a purpose and a love for his brethren. And God has a purpose and love for you. And God has a purpose and love for me. So now God is putting the brothers of Joseph in the fire and he's about to try them as never before. To what end? That they might come forth as gold. How are the brothers tried, tested, and purified? And let me ask you this question, in what form do trials come? In what form do trials come that we might be purified? Fire, heat is used to purify gold. We don't have pure gold on this side of eternity. The most purest form of gold is 24 carats. And still it's not 100% gold. We wait for heaven for that. We walk on streets of gold, gold as clear as glass. Therein is pure gold. Clear as glass. So until that day, you and I are being purified. And God often used fire and heat to purify our lives. That's what 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 teaches us. Fire and heat is used to purify gold, purify silver. What kind of fire does God use to purify us? What kind of fire will God use from time to time in my life, in your life, to purify? I'm glad you've asked that question. Let's answer that question from Genesis chapter 42. And please, let me encourage you to write these down, because you'll need them one day. Yes, you will. Note here in verse number 6 that as Joseph's brethren come and find themselves in the presence of Joseph, the governor of the land, note here in verse number 6, the second part of that verse, Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him. Note this. With their faces to the earth. Joseph's brothers could not bow down any further. Their faces were to the earth. They were on their face to the earth. What kind of fire does God use to purify us from time to time? Number one, he humbles us from time to time. He humbles us, or should I say, he allows us to be humbled from time to time. It would have been a humbling thing to admit their need for Joseph's brethren, to admit their need for food. And to travel to Egypt, to travel to a foreign land and ask for food from a foreign people. See, it's one thing to ask help from a family member. That can be humbling enough. But it's far more humbling to knock on your neighbor's door and ask for food. Am I right or not? Yes. Far easier to ask a family member than to knock on your neighbor's door and say, listen, I'm run out of food. That's humbling. God allows us to try it at times through the fire of being humbled. That is one means of fire that God will use from time to time in your life and in my life to try us. He allows us to be humbled because we need humbling from time to time. Amen. To fail an exam is humbling, but good for us. To be retrenched, humbling, but good for us. To make a serious financial mistake, humbling, but good for us. See, God from time to time needs to allow us to fall off our high perch of self-sufficiency, and He does so through the fire of humility from time to time. Good can come from a humbling moment. How do you think Job felt when he lost everything? A wealthy man that had everything that man could want, a man that feared God, and God humbled him. God allowed him to be humbled. Why? Because God was trying Job. And Proverbs 22:4 reads, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. What kind of fire does God use to purify us? Number one, sometimes He allows us to be humbled. Because you and I every now and again need to be knocked off our little perch of self-sufficiency. Am I right or not? It's true. We all need to stumble and fall every now and again. You know what it's like to trip in public? How does that feel? It's humbling, isn't it? We need it every now and again. Yes, we do. All of us. I'm not saying we like it, but we need it. Number two, are you still with me? Look at verse number 7. Genesis 42, verse 7, it goes on to read, and Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them. Of course he did. But made himself strange unto them. And note this next little phrase, and spake roughly unto them. Spake roughly unto them. Joseph spoke roughly unto his brethren. No doubt he spoke formally. He spoke with authority. But the Bible teaches us he spoke roughly unto them. Obviously, no personal element in Joseph's speech. Joseph did not say, well, welcome to Egypt. How can I help you? He spoke roughly unto them.
What kind of fire does God use to purify us from time to time? Number one, He allows us to be humbled. You got that one? Number two, often God will use a harsh experience to humble us. To experience harsh treatment can be very humbling. And it can be purifying, and God will use harsh treatment, God will use humility to try us and to purify us for His glory. Sometimes our seasons of testings come in the form of unpleasant, harsh treatment. Joseph spoke roughly unto them. I don't believe he swore at them. I don't believe he was disrespectful unto them. He spoke with authority. He spoke directly. There was no personal element. It seemed like to Joseph's brothers, oh, he doesn't like us. A nasty boss. An unkind letter. I've had a few of those the last 24 years. Where your feelings are hurt because, for whatever reason, experience harsh treatment. Sometimes our testing, the fire that God allows us to go through in order to purify us, He allows us to experience some harshness. Note there in Luke chapter 22, please. Luke 22, 63 to 65, my Lord was treated harshly. Luke chapter 22, 63 to 65 reads, and the men that held Jesus mocked Him and smote Him. And when they had blindfolded Him, they struck Him on the face and asked Him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against Him. My Lord Jesus was harshly treated, unkindly treated. But the Lord Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. And I'm so thankful for that, because He was willing to endure that harshness of treatment. Redemption has been provided for mankind. He didn't turn His back on the will of God the Father and say, God the Father, this just isn't right. They're not talking to me very nicely. They're hitting me. They're not treating me justly. I quit. No, He knew He was in the will of God. He was in the will of God the Father. And He endured harshness for your sake and for my sake, that we might have life eternal in Jesus Christ. And my friend, from time to time, you and I will be tried by fire, not only by the means of humility, but the means of harsh treatment. Go back to Genesis chapter 42. Look at verse number 7. Joseph spake to his brethren and said to them, look at this, verse 7, whence come ye? Motives question. Motives, questions. Write that one down. Joseph asked them pointedly, "Where are you from?" Now, was it necessary to ask this question? Well, no, Joseph would have known that they needed food like everybody else, and they will pay. But yes, they could have been spies. But Joseph knew them. He knew they weren't spies, but they could have been spies. Spies often came into a land in the form of a merchant. Very, very common. Merchants would be hired by an opposing nation, go into the land, sell your plastic toys or whatever, but just take note of the land. Joseph said to his brothers, "Whence come ye?" Have you ever had your motives questioned or literally put on trial? Often God allows us to be tried in that form. Well, they responded in verse number 7. They said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." Whence come ye? Where are you from? From the land of Canaan to buy food. They answered honestly, correctly, fully, directly. I think of King David. Before he became king, the Bible teaches us that the women answered one another as they played, "Saul hath slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s." 1 Samuel 18:7. Saul convinced himself that David had an agenda. He questioned his motives in serving King Saul. He became more successful than King Saul. His motives were questioned. Joseph said to the brethren, "Where are you from?" Beloved, sometimes our testing time comes in the form of people questioning our motives. You've never had your motives questioned? Well, just hang on to your ticket, keep your seatbelt on, it'll happen eventually. Yeah. We read on in verse number 8, please. Look at this. "And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him." Sometimes trials come in the form of being humbled. Sometimes trials come in the form of nasty treatment. Sometimes trials come in the form of motives being questioned. Note here in verse number 8, Joseph recognizes his brothers. It's been over 20 years. He recognizes them, but they do not recognize him. He knows more than what they know. Am I right or not? Talk to me. They don't know this is Joseph. But he knows this is definitely my brothers that sold me into slavery 20 odd years ago. He knows more than what they know. Are you with me? I believe Joseph was lining up his dots. And he begins to see the bigger picture as never before. Those dreams I had at the age of 17, they really had some purpose. Look at these guys, they're bowing to me. I was sent to Egypt with purpose. I could have been sent to Babylon. I could have been sent to Assyria. But there was a reason why I was sent to Egypt. And what about those 2 extra years in prison, where the butler forgot all about me? But then after 2 years he remembered. I think Joseph is starting to connect his dots. He recognizes his brothers. He knows more than what they know. The brothers are yet to see the full picture. But it is forthcoming. And beloved, listen to me carefully. Sometimes our trials come in the form of a partial mystery. That's your fourth point. Sometimes our trials come in the form of a partial mystery. He recognizes them, they do not recognize him. We don't know the future, but we know the one who holds the future. Yes, we say amen to that, but we would dearly love to have more information. I'm the same. I'm made of the same stuff as you. But sometimes our trials come, our testings come, where God is purifying us by holding back. Joseph knew his brothers. His brothers did not know him. He had more understanding than what they did. Valuable lesson for us all. Will I ever get a job again? What score will I get in the HSC? But God's not going to reveal that to you yet. By the way, young people, it is not the end of the world post-HSC. Right? God still loves you no matter what score you get in your HSC. And you can do something great for God without a HSC. Let me remind you, parents. Encourage your children to do their best, to be diligent, and pray that your children will get the score that God wants them to have. Full stop. This nonsense of being there is no life after HSC is nonsense. Amen. That's a bonus. Yeah, yeah. Just do your best. Leave it up to God. So your trial might be just waiting to see what God has for you. You don't have the full picture. Lord, what is happening here? Have you ever asked the question, Lord, what are you doing? Oh, I have. Often God allows us to go through the fire of trial by just holding back partial mystery. Joseph recognized his brethren. They did not recognize him. There are times of testings in which God withholds information. We need to rest assured of the fact that's always best for us. Consider if Joseph had revealed his identity straight away. Oh, brothers! Great to see you again. Good to see you. What would you like? You might say, well, Pastor, what would have been wrong with that? Everything. Everything, because these brethren needed some purifying. They've been dishonest, lying, cruel brethren, and they needed to be refined just a little bit more. Amen.
And because God loved them just like He loved Joseph, God was going to allow them to go through the fire of humility and harsh treatment. And now we come to partial mystery. The just shall walk by faith. Even during times of hardship, God wants us to walk by faith. Oh, quickly, Job chapter 42.
You're not in a rush, are you? No? Okay, quickly, Job 42. Look at this. God allowed Job to go through this awesome trial. To what end? Look at this, Job 42 verse 5. Note what Job said. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job 42 verse 5. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now I see, O God, what you are doing and what you've done and why you've allowed me to go through all this. I didn't see it before, but now I see you. Now I see what you've done. Now I know why you've allowed me to go through what you've put me through. There was a purpose.
Go back to Genesis 42. Look at verse 9. Often God puts us through the fire of humility, or allows us to go through the fire of humility, the fire of harsh treatment, the fire of having our motives questioned, the fire of a partial mystery, and number 5, write this one down, the fire of being falsely accused. Look at verse number 9. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies. To see the nakedness of the land ye are come. Note their response in verse 10. But they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. We're honest men. Thy servants are no spies. Look at verse 12. And he said unto them, nay, no, but to see the nakedness of the land are ye come. False accusation. Number 5. Sometimes our trials come in the form of false accusations. Joseph accused them of being spies with a mission to see the layout of the land. And as I've already mentioned, it was a common means of surveying lands and places is to send merchants in under the banner of being a merchant and just viewing, spying out the land. And reporting back. You're spies. No, we're not. You're spies. Not only were their motives questioned, but they were falsely accused. Joseph goes beyond questioning their motives. Here he charges them as spies. That
equated to death under normal circumstances. And if in doubt, kill them anyway. That's how it worked in those days. If in doubt, chop their heads off. They could have been spies. Innocent till proven guilty should be the correct order, but not a reality at times. Is it? Is it? Talk to me. There. Whatever happened to innocent till proven guilty? What about it? Not reality. No. Sorry. Wake up, Australia. Joseph's brothers are on the back foot. Now they have to prove their innocence. It takes a lot more virtue to prove your innocence than the other way. The devil is the accuser of the brethren, the Bible teaches us. And sometimes God allows us to be tried by fire by the means of false accusation. Have you ever been falsely accused? It's not very nice, is it? Is it? No, it's not very nice. It's one thing to have your motives questioned. It's one thing to be harshly treated. It's one thing to trip down some stairs and the whole world sees it. But to be falsely accused, it's not very nice. So the question goes begging, beloved, why the humility? Why the harsh treatment? Why the questioning of motives? Why the mystery element? Lord, why are you doing this? What are you trying to do? And then, last but not least, to be falsely accused of doing wrong? Spies? We just want some food. You know that everybody needs food. And you've got food. 1 + 1 = 2, Governor. Can't you see it? We just want food. The world's in famine. We're willing to pay. Here's the money. Falsely accused. Why did God allow all of this? Well, look at let's go to verse 13. And they said, thy servants are 12. Now they give more information. The sons of one man, more information. In the land of Canaan, we know that already. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father. More information. And note this next little phrase, and one is not. Oh, there's some information right there. And I can imagine Joseph saying to himself, I wonder what they mean by that. And one is not. Look at verse 14. And Joseph said unto them, that it is that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Look at verse 15. Hereby ye shall be proved. You will be purified. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you. Let him fetch your brother. Prove that you're telling the truth. And ye shall be kept in prison that your words may be proved. Whether there be any truth in you. or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward, into prison, 3 days. See, God was purifying the hearts of these men. They needed to become more spiritual. And God is using this time of testing to purify them. And one is not. See, God is addressing the dross or the impurity in the life of these men, is he not? And Joseph said on the surface, I want to prove you whether you guys are fed income. If you're real, one of you go back, get your younger brother you make reference to, and we'll wait for you. Let's see how real you are. So God is addressing the dross that was within the hearts of these men. Lying, hatred, jealousy. All of the above was evident in their treatment of Joseph. So, my friend, the next time you are tried and feel like questioning God's dealings, listen to me. Now's the time to wake up. The next time you are tried and feel like questioning God's dealings, consider, please, what impurities are there in my life? They need to be brought to the surface and scraped off. Oh, Pastor, I don't have any. You liar. Pure gold is like glass. There is no such thing as pure gold on this side of eternity. 24 carat is the best. It takes over 1,000 degrees to melt gold. In contrast to a house fire, would range between 500 to 600 degrees. It needs to be around 1,000 to melt gold. Twice the intensity. And every now and again, God needs to turn the heat up in your life and in my life. That we might melt. For the better. Amen. Thank you, Associate Pastor. Do you want to say that again? Yeah. God has to turn it up. So the dross will come to the surface. Because pure gold is only in heaven, clear as glass, Revelation teaches us. So until that day, we all need to be purified just a little bit more. This is Isaac. Belongs to my favorite daughter. I didn't tell you in what ways the camel is so purposely created, did I? I said that he was, but I didn't tell you in what way, or what ways. Though the camel is unattractive in looks, except when they're like this, stuffed toy, pretty cute. So likewise, your trial might look ugly, unattractive. But just like this camel, a camel can look unattractive. But they are purposely created by God. And that was confirmed to me at Petra when I got to ride a camel for the first time in my life. Thanks to our associate pastor. So just like the camel can look unattractive, but you would say, but the camel has been purposefully created, designed by God. Would you agree with that? And as you do your homework and work out in what ways, may I submit to you that your trials, your trial, though unattractive, has been purposefully designed for you, designed for me, that we might be purified and be made more like the Savior. That's the camp. Tried and purified. Humility. Ugh. Motives questioned. Harsh treatment. Partial information. False accusation. Five means by which God tries and purifies. Please make a note. You'll need that information one day, if not today. Unattractive on the outward, but purposefully designed by the Creator, God Himself. And all God's people said, let's bow for prayer.